are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen, on this, the 108th day of the year. Did you know that?
108th? Why That's is right. that significant? Is know. It like shopping days or something?
I woke up this morning. I started thinking about it. I looked it up. I put it in the script.
Someone needs a hobby.
Yes, they do.
Maybe something
yes,
you
they
could
do.
Do.
And guess what, time. Ladies and gentlemen? You're listening to the other voice here of LA Talk Radio, State of the Arts. The Italian Stallion is
yes.
back
yes,
after
course,
a whirlwind
yes.
vacation with his beautiful wife, Monica, in northern Italy.
Yes.
Welcome home, Paul.
Yes, it's good to be back. I'm going to give myself some applause for that.
Nice.
And as you know, I've often referred to myself as the white Oscar Jordan, and I'm grateful for Oscar Jordan, who came in and sat in for me a couple of shows. And we're thankful to
absolutely.
Oscar and his show, Oscar's Guitar Shop, which airs on this very network.
That's very true.
Yes.
And he was a trooper. He was right here. He was right in the pocket. He was trying to fill your shoes, and those are some big shoes.
Ah, yes. Size right? 14, actually.
Size 14,
as you know.
Exact.
Yes.
What does that indicate, size 14?
It indicates severe difficulty in finding shoes.
It does.
Actually,
is
yes.
That it?
Thank God for Zappos.com. Yes, we're not going to go down that road,
no,
Michael.
We won't.
It's a class act, and we have a lovely lady to
That's
my right.
true. That's true.
Make
I forgot where I am.
Yes.
All right,
okay.
Paul. So, let's get to
We would like to
business.
Thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
And we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
In studio with us today are two of the dynamic all-star cast members of Musical Theater West's production of A Chorus Line, currently kicking it up on stage at the beautiful Richard and Karen Carpenter Performing Arts Center in Long Beach, California, now through April 28th.
You are so right, Paul. And one of our two guests is not only gorgeous, but she's tall and has got legs for days, and she portrays dancer Cassie in A Chorus Line, which, as you well know, is a pivotal role in the book of the show. Chrissy Whitehead is here.
Yes,
hi. Chrissy!
Hi!
How are you?
Chrissy.
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you having you in.
Yes.
Yes.
And our second guest is who?
Our second guest is no stranger to A Chorus Line, having trekked across America in the U.S. You know, it'd be a good reality show.
Trekked
you know, Chorus Line across America.
That would
Just
be,
do Chorus
it?
Line at every single... Anyway, sorry. This is the way my mind works. In the U.S. national tour of the show and appeared in numerous other regional productions of A Chorus Line is the triple threat Paisan, who at Musical Theater West not only plays lovable husband Al to his adorable off-key singing wife Christine, portrayed by the wonderfully talented Teresa Murray, but is the show's dance captain and assistant choreographer. Venny Carranza is with us today.
Yeah. Venny.
Venny, did I say that right? Carranza?
Yes.
I didn't
did.
Put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. That was
nope,
right.
The syllables were right there.
Carranza.
Emphasis.
Okay.
What is that?
The emphasis on the wrong
is that
syllable.
How you say
yes.
That?
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Kind of
it was great.
So,
okay.
Paul, let me ask you before we get into the thrust of the show.
Sure.
Tell me, what was the highlight of your trip?
Well, there were a lot of highlights. Probably when the police broke into the apartment we were staying in and nearly arrested me was probably the
what?
High point for me. Yes, that was a little unnerving.
What happened?
Well, here's the thing. Every part of the trip was great, but my cousin Mauro is...
Mauro.
Mauro, see. Si. Mauro, yes.
Oh,
sorry.
Si. Okay.
I've been speaking it for a couple of weeks. Mauro is... Gerard Depardieu without the restraint. That's
oh,
who he is.
Really?
He's like, yeah, he's my wife says having Mauro on your side or out with you is sort of like having a pet grizzly bear. And, you know, you're going to get knocked down, you're going to get scarred, you're going to get mauled, but you're going to have a great time doing it. A pet grizzly bear that loves you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Mauro isn't really good with details and clerical things and things that involve, you know, bookkeeping.
How old is he?
He's a couple years older than me.
Oh, that'll work.
So
okay.
It makes him 35.
Yep. Okay.
And he there's this clerical error regarding this property, and that's in a neighboring town, yeah. of a house that he never owned mm-hmm. and does not own, mm-hmm. and they have it on the books as not he not only owns it, but he hasn't made any mortgage payments on it because it's not his. And they came to the door and they were just like, "Policia, and where's my passport? And where's Dottore Palmieri? Because he's a dentist." Yeah, and Mauro going near.
So they were
teeth
drilling.
Just, yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
And then Monica was asleep at the time. It was about 8 a.m., and we'd been doing late nights there. And she was like, "Paul, your Italian got perfect in like a nanosecond." I was just like, because normally I'm stumbling. Io sono americano, mio cugino non a casa. And they were just like, because none of them spoke English at all. Because the town they're in, Novara, is, you know, in the big cities they do. But if you like Venice, they spoke it everywhere, and Milan, they spoke it everywhere. But this is Novara. This is a small town that's known for its rice.
Right.
No, it's a beautiful little city, but it's, you know, we would speak English and get looks, you know, so just like so. But anyway, that was a highlight. Nearly getting arrested and handing over my passport to the Italian authorities at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And speaking great Italian.
Learning by abject
out of
terror. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Wow. Well.
So yeah, thanks for asking.
Absolutely. But you're glad to be home, are you?
Very glad to be home. Yeah, no, just, you know, I love it there. Yeah. I mean, it's jumping into a pool of love for 2 weeks. You can't buy anything. You're carried around on a velvet pillow. I have more family there.
Wait a minute.
That I do. Well,
no, that wasn't my experience.
Yeah. I'm going with you.
Oh yeah, no, you can't. I mean, this is.
I'll bring the pillow.
It's unbelievable. You can't. I mean, it's because it's all my family.
Yeah.
And you're just like these American rock stars when you come over. They'll do anything for you.
Well, we have a couple of rock stars in
we
this.
Do. We do.
We studio today. I think we better tend to that.
Okay. I will kick it off. Originally from Columbia, South Carolina, our first guest has worked on Broadway, TV, and film as an actress, dancer, singer. She has shared the stage with such stars as Neil Patrick Harris, Stephen Colbert, Patti LuPone, John Cryer, and Christina Hendricks. Only can get some people we knew. She can be seen in the hit documentary Every Little Step, where she was featured landing her Broadway debut in A Chorus Line. Television credits include roles on Castle, The Mentalist, 2 and a Half Men, to mention but a few. She also is soon to be seen in the motion picture Lucky Stiff with Jason Alexander. Please welcome one singular sensation, Chrissy Whitehead.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you. That's amazing.
Well, it's nice to have something pretty in the studio, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Instead of my watch.
But we're focusing on Chrissy now.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Good Lord. He is back.
I know. No, she's obviously a lovely woman. She's lovely enough to be able to take a silly joke.
Well, I must say, too, let me just pay you big props on your performance in the show, because it really was spectacular. It was, you know, going to a production of A Chorus Line for me is something that I haven't done in years and years and years, and actually only this was the third time I'd ever seen it actually in my life. So
really?
The first time was on Broadway, and shortly after it opened, which was
1975.
I was speechless for, you know, months after
so
that.
So you saw it with Donna McKechnie then?
I did. Yeah. I did. And
you like the way I threw that in there, like I'm in the know?
Yeah.
Do you that?
Well, you
I
are
know.
In the know, aren't you? A little bit?
Not really.
Of course you are.
Because
I teach you everything.
Just say yes.
Just nod and smile like a bank teller.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I must say, the elements of this production are so true to the original, and it was so beautiful to watch. And it still has its heart, you know. It still is very, very important to theater as a piece of theater, and obviously these stories transcend, you know, generations.
They do.
And live up to where young people such as all of you actually are in your real lives are probably going through some of these things yourselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was, and your performance, you know, which is as such a key role, as we said in the introduction, is something I think that's quite anticipated in the production. So you're kind of waiting for that moment to come up, and you certainly deliver the goods.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
You really do.
I really love doing it.
She's a beautiful dancer and a wonderful singer.
You bring up an interesting point that I wanted to ask you about, Chris, because, you know, like you said, you saw it, I saw it, everyone has seen it. That's in the know. but we go and we have our expectations about, you know, because we've seen it, we've probably also romanticized it, even though we loved it first, we have our favorite things and all that. So for you to make it new for yourself and in turn making it new for audiences, is there a particular tactic that you have for that? I mean, what is it like to do such an iconic role and make it your own? How do you go about that?
I always love to just bring myself to the plate and just trust that first. But this time around, because I had done the Broadway revival and I played Christine, this was 7 years ago. So it's been a very beautiful memory for me to do the show again and revisit it. But for I actually did a lot of research on Donna. I read the book. I met Donna when she came to our opening night, 7 years ago on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
And I knew that going back and doing this role and asked to do it, that I really wanted to play homage to her and her dancing and how just a beautiful, wonderful dancer and actress and singer that she was, that I was like, you know what, I'm going to watch her. I really did. I did a lot of studying her and learning about her life. Then I took my own life, which is pretty similar. A lot of it's really similar.
Really? Unnervingly so?
No, in a beautiful way, actually. Yeah. Dancing are my roots, first and foremost, and it's what made me want to become an actress and pursue acting in film and television and to step out of the chorus, because I was a rockette at 18. And I have always resonated with Cassie's story, and to be honest, I think it's all of us. I think it's every dancer's story. And so when I'm dancing out there, I'm dancing for all the dancers.
Benny is furiously nodding to
yes.
that.
Yes, I am. I agree with that.
I think Cassie is all of our story.
Yeah.
And so it's actually a very cathartic release to be coming back to it now.
Yeah.
I don't feel the expectations of it. I just want to serve the story and serve that she's a woman who wants to start over again and do what she loves to do. And everybody deserves that kind of chance. So it's really fun. So, yeah, it wasn't really hard. I haven't felt the pressure. Maybe because we're out in Long Beach and everybody's great in Long Beach and they're so sweet. And Roger, our director, is just...
Roger Castellano, yes.
Yes. I mean, he really allowed me and everybody in the cast to bring their own humanity to it, which is why I think you're saying it's
that's
still...
That's nice.
The heart is still there.
They're not trying to fit you to a form. That's great.
Which is beautiful, and I was really excited about that.
You mentioned earlier about the acting aspect of Cassie, and I not being a dancer and watching it, that to me was what affected me so much. I didn't see it with Donna McKechnie, because, as you know, I wasn't born in 1975. But when I did see it, that's what I took away from it, because everyone was just like, the dancing, and she's got that number, Music in the Mirror, isn't it? But I was just so bowled over by the acting performance of the woman who played Cassie. And I think that is something that can be overlooked, what a difficult emotional role it is, because the dance is so captivating that you run the risk of it overshadowing the emotional
story.
The emotional content.
Well, also, as a piece unto itself, because you're singing, as you know, in the number two,
it's a beast. Coming out. The number's a beast.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I've always watched it, and I loved watching Charlotte do it every night on Broadway. Yeah. But Charlotte d'Amboise. It's a beast.
How do you prepare in any sort of special way for that, to handle the vocal?
Yeah, I just made sure that I was running it every day. I was with Vinny helping me out, saying, how else can we do this? And every day I was making sure, because I saw that Charlotte did that. Mm-hmm. Every day she was doing it at lunch. So it was a stamina thing, that as soon as I learned it, we were doing it every day. And it's just stamina and then building that. And then when you get lost in it, it kind of just overtakes you, and that's what's so beautiful about
the emotion that needs to be expressed is getting lost in that dance too, but also you're having to keep track of everything.
Yeah, and I think it just takes doing, and we only had 2 weeks in the studio.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't get 4 weeks of rehearsal and three weeks of tech and previews, you know what I mean?
I put together very quickly this show.
Wow.
Like 10 days, did you say?
10 days.
Yeah.
10 days of rehearsal.
Wow, 10 days.
That's a little shaky for me, hears things like that.
Where do you put this role in your list of favorites of things that you've done? Because you have a very extensive background in musical theater.
It probably is. Probably the top. It's the top. Yeah. It's my favorite. It's what made me want to become into musical theater. I did it when I was 14, Chorus Line, and I remember watching the women playing Cassie that were my dance teachers at the time in Columbia, South Carolina. And it's because I was a competition dancer myself, and I would stay at night till 11 o'clock at night dancing in the studio, and the dance studio was my safe haven. Mm-hmm. It was my safe place where I could just get lost and dance and perfect the art of it. And it brings you back to childhood. Mm-hmm. So playing this role is taking me back to what I love to do and what saved my life, which was the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like I'm acting. I feel like I'm really just being up there on the stage and then adding you know, the history elements of, you know, relationship with Zach and how humiliating it would feel to come from back from LA and not being a success and saying, you know what, well, what I'm born to do is to dance and I'll go back and do that. And I know that feeling.
Right.
I know that feeling. I was out here for 2 years after I was starring on Broadway as Christine and had 200 auditions for film and television, and I booked one.
Wow. 200 auditions in 2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's not true. It's two. But I forgot that it was Grey's Anatomy, my first big guest star. So I was like, woo! Who wants to see me? I've got a guest star. I'm the funny Christine from Chorus Line. You know, who wants me out in Los Angeles? And then I got great representation. My manager, Joan Sittenfield, is a dream. And 200 auditions. And I remember starting in 2010, going, I'm a dancer. That is what I do. And if I'm going to spend another year out here, I got to be a little bit pragmatic. I may be getting close, but if I'm not making money as an actress, what was I born to do? I'll go back to New York. And I said, I'll give myself one more year in 2010. If it's another 100 auditions, I don't get gosh darn it, I'm becoming Cassie. But then it started, to, you know, then things did start to skyball. So, it's,
Yeah, that is... Unfortunately, I don't want to say it's a common tale, but it's certainly a tale that a lot of people could identify with.
Oh yeah, I mean you have to stick it out, but I'm not.
But especially for someone who like you, so accomplished, you're so attractive, you have such a history. You know, those are stark numbers.
I file all of my auditions, and it was an infomercial for a mattress store.
Well, yeah. I don't want to one-up you here.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to one-up you.
Oh, but do you have a story?
When I came up out of the apple as the worm for the insecticide industrial, that was a magical moment.
It's a magical moment.
And that was the audition. I didn't even book it.
I mean, you know, and I was really like, wow. And it was a product that I actually was really happy to do because I love sleep. I'm a big person about sleep. So I was sitting there doing this job going, I really believe in this product.
I believe in rest.
I believe in rest. I do.
I've been resting for a year.
Way too much, actually. I even tried to get a free bed. Didn't happen.
Oh, man. That's funny.
It's been a ride.
I wouldn't give you one. I would.
It's been a fun ride. I mean, and now with you get to a certain point. You know, I'm 33, and I don't feel the pressure to have to deliver all these goods. I'm really happy with so far with my career. It has been ups and downs. I'm a teacher. I love to teach.
You're at AMDA, aren't you?
I'm at AMDA and I'm at UCLA and I teach privately and I also teach at the Edge. And it's something that I've been doing since I was 18 or 19 to keep giving back what I'm learning in the business. And it has always fed me and I love seeing what it does to others, for others.
Oh, that's great. That's great. No, it's apparent listening to you and the way you describe it that it's you're far more an artist. The artistic aspect of thing is the most important to you.
I do see how the arts save people's. I mean, look, we're still in the arts right here. You guys are doing for a living, you know, interviewing people about what they do, and that's still an artistic endeavor. And what a cool job, you know.
And we did this, quite frankly, because of the lack of support for the arts in the medium of radio. I mean, it's very scarce here in Los Angeles, and that's a huge indication of what it's like throughout the rest of the country.
I mean, aside from who is it on Pacifica Radio? His name is
Julio Martinez.
Aside from him, and because the one on NPR, the local NPR, you know, affiliate got lost. So, were there any other art shows?
There's one classical art show that comes out of SC.
Yeah, well, we ain't classical.
But no, we're not.
Well, I'm glad you guys
are here. We also didn't want to be NPR. We wanted to be entertaining and kind of irreverent to some degree and not take it all too seriously.
Right.
But deliver the right messages, you know, the right information, because we're very serious about the arts. We just want it heard.
We
accept it differently. So.
Yeah.
And we are serious about promoting shows
and
letting people know how they can see these things. So I want to put this information out there.
Great.
Tickets for A Chorus Line are on sale right now, can be purchased online at www.musical.org. And I still can't believe how they got URL. Musical.org, unheard of. Or you can call 562-856-1999, extension 4. 4. That's 562-856-1999, extension 4. Tickets may also be purchased in person at the Musical Theater West box office, and that's located at 4350 East 7th Street in beautiful downtown Long Beach, California, from 12 to 6, Tuesday through Saturdays. And Musical Theater West performs at the Carpenter Performing Arts Center. That is at 6200 East Atherton Street in Long Beach, and tickets start at $20. How do you beat that?
So how do you not go? Because you have to go.
And running time is 2 hours with no intermission, a PG-13 for adult themes and language, but just bring the kids to this. You don't have to worry about that with Chorus Line.
I mean, with what's going on TV
all the direct that's on television
now,
this Chorus Line looks like Bambi, for Christ's sake. But we'll throw that information out again.
The beautiful part about this theater, too, I must say, because it's one of the great theaters in California, certainly perhaps the country as far, it's 1,100 seats. Beautiful number, because there's not one seat is a bad seat in that theater.
But yeah, you have that great contagion of
a
full house.
It's
a stadium kind of, right?
Yes.
Stadium seating.
And it's
just
beautiful.
Perfect. Yeah. The acoustics are great. The ambiance is great. They run it beautifully. And Paul Garman and Mary Rittenour, who are in charge there, they
lovely
do a spectacular job of keeping this theater going and giving back to the community there in Long Beach and beyond, because it certainly extends here to Los Angeles, and first-rate productions, and I think that they're one of the most successful entities with regard to our Ovation Awards on the nominations received.
Yeah, you always see that name.
Something close to 100 nominations and awards through the years for their work. So.
No, you always see that name there.
Yeah.
And I like stadium seating. Because my Monica actually digs stadium seating, because my wife is very diminutive. She's
a good
very
word.
Way of putting
it.
Well, she listens to the show. If I say short, she kicks my ass. And stadium seating is nice because she's not staring at the back of someone's
head.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Which is, you know, and then, you know, not so much an issue for me, but for her it is.
I want to ask, if I may, the both of you. This is a question for the both of you. So you're born to dance, and that's what you do. What do you think about these? What do you think about So You Think You Can Dance, the TV show? I mean, when I ask this question of dancers, they're very...
And the silence was deafening.
No, I want to give Vinny a chance to speak.
Well, no, yeah. I think that it brings a whole new light to dance.
Yeah.
And it brings a whole new generation of dancers out to the forefront. I was raised in the old school where, you know, dance technique was... That's what was drilled in each and every dancer when you were in a dance class. Technique. Mm-hmm. And now it's more freestyle, and it's very open to any and all kinds of dance movements and interpretations and things like that. So it has changed throughout the years from when I recall going into my dance studio growing up, and the first thing we did was, you know, we started techniques, and we do across the floor, we turn, we leap, we do all that stuff. And I recently went into a dance class just to see, and it was actually up here. I can't remember the name of the dance studio. It was up here in the valley, and
it wasn't the Paul Sturley Studio of Dance.
I don't think so. No, that's not the one.
No.
And I noticed, just viewing and observing the dance class, that it's a much more unstructured type of dance class.
This is exactly what I was expecting you to say about all of this, about So You Think You Can Dance, because I think it's an objection of dancers who have gone through what you have gone through.
Yes, definitely. Well,
and suddenly this new crop of dancers are coming out, just really, as you said, kind of it's very... interpretive, and it's acceptable. And I'm not saying that it's not difficult to dance like this, because I think it is. But it's there's a movement away from the technique of true dance.
Well, at the end of the day, it becomes about one thing. What Vinny is describing is about making an artist and making a career. And their obligation is to make television. And that's what they're doing. And they have to, so it's going to be the equivalent of fast food dancing. We're going to get, you know, it's going to be quick, it's going to be easy, it's going to leave your system soon afterwards. That's what, you know.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be a growth or, you know, an appreciation for the art.
But I do feel that there's truth in that, too. I assisted on So You Think You Can Dance, and Tice Dioro is one of my dearest friends. And I think that there is a beautiful celebration in that we are. I do agree with Benny that there is some unstructured there as well, but there's also like a celebration of like dance again.
Oh, the awareness factor.
The awareness factor is so amazing that I'm like, woo! You know what I mean? And I think that's what's really cool about the show, and it just keeps. It makes people go, oh, you're a dancer, and I've always wanted to dance. Or I say, come take dance class. You know what I mean? It, like, dancing actually is healing. Yeah. So I think that there's a part of it. Like, there have been numbers that really did touch people and that people are winning Emmys for. And there's certain things that happened there. And that if I was 18 years old, and when that show came out, there was, and I was a competitionist, there was no way I would have been there in a heartbeat.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I remember watching I'm going to date myself.
That's fine.
I remember watching Star Search.
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah. What was that? In comparison to in comparison to So You Think You Can Dance, you would see dancers compete.
Yeah.
And they would give you dance.
Yeah.
And So You Think You Can Dance, it's now more
tricks.
More freestyle, it's more open and flowy, and it's really, it's not so much about the structuredness of the dance, but the interpretation of it and bringing a story to it.
Yes, yes. And in their defense, in the defense of those performers who have to do it, is that they have, 90 seconds?
Oh, they have 90 seconds. I was there.
Tiny little
those
sliver.
Poor kids, they're dancing their hearts out and working so hard. And they don't, I mean, I don't know about now, but when I had worked on it, they didn't have like a day off, it didn't seem. And then they, you know, so it's hard. It's a hard job, and they're getting different styles. That's what I love, too, though.
And, you know, I think what does happen through the cycle of the show as it moves, you know, through its season on television is that those dancers who are the untrained dancers, and they are put to the test at some point to have to know all styles of choreography.
Oh, no, that's amazing. Yeah, like the kids who come in are b-boys or
hip hop. That's how they, when they start weeding them out like that, because they can't handle
all the styles.
And mostly the style that we're talking about that is evident in a chorus line that is evident.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's like hardcore. I mean, we say 70s.
You know, and I think they're
old school.
I think, and I speak for myself, and I can say I can also speak for Chrissy that we were kind of a step ahead in learning the fact that if we were going to advance in the business, we were going to have to learn all these different styles.
Yeah.
Right. And back in the day, nobody was teaching that. You didn't,
you did it on your own.
Yeah, you did it on your own. Nobody was saying,
do this.
Oh, yeah.
Do this style, do this style, because later on in life, you're going to have to adapt to all these things. Yeah. And nowadays, you go to a dance studio and they're like, go take a ballet class, also go take a tap class, also go take a jazz class, also go take a movement class.
And I think that is the biggest, I'm sorry if I cut you off, Annie. I just want to say, but I think that is the most positive thing that can come from this, and you touched on this earlier, and that is that very few people are going to be chosen for So You Think You Can Dance.
Right.
But yet a lot of children are watching it. So maybe just through that awareness and reawakening,
they say, "Mom, Dad, I want to go to dance class.
Yeah. I want to go," and they will have in many ways a richer, if they pursue it, a richer dance growth than maybe a lot of the people who were on the show.
Yeah,
I agree with that. It's hard for the kids on the show. They're working so hard and they're seen, and then the show's over and they have to go right back into the real world of auditioning.
Yeah.
And a lot of choreographers may see. Oh, I mean, some people have been doing great who are working from the show.
Right.
And the choreographer saw them or whatever and was like, I love you. You're great. But a lot of times they've had to have an adjustment of going back into the real world. And that's a chorus line. Well, the only unemployment, what is it? The only line you can depend on in this business is the one on unemployment. I mean, gosh, we work so hard. I just love all the dancers. Yeah.
And I think, for the most part, just like any other business, the world of dance has stepped up a bar.
Yeah, it has. Yes, it has.
Well, it certainly, and You Think You Can Dance, it certainly has promoted dance, as we were talking
about. So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes.
That's my...
And they have great choreographers.
But it's, and that's the point. We're keeping the arts alive somehow through something. All of these shows, The Voice, The X Factor.
Totally.
But it's all good.
It is.
You know?
It is.
Well, not all of them.
An arts calendar.
We have an arts calendar. Actually, we don't have an arts calendar. We have an announcement.
It's a different
And I don't want to bring the room down. down, but it's a very unpleasant subject to talk about very briefly. But actually, it was Jason Rohr who told me about this.
Oh, really?
Jason Rohr is a reviewer in town and a great contributor to LA theater in a lot of ways. And there's a theater, one of my favorite local theaters, which is Theater Banshee, where they do a lot of Irish-themed work, but are certainly not limited to that. And they're doing a... are doing a production of Importance of Being Earnest. And one of the actors, Adrian Black, on April 4th of this year, was mugged at Union Station in Los Angeles. The perpetrator was caught and arrested on the scene, but Adrian suffered severe injuries in the attack. His hand and his elbow were broken, his cheek was shattered, and other bones in his face were broken. He's an actor and doesn't currently have health insurance. And as a result of organizer Sean Branny of Theater Banshee in Burbank, funds are being raised for Adrian to bear the cost of the significant medical care that he needs. So he was working at Theater Banshee as an actor in the production of Importance of Being Earnest, and his injuries were so severe that he did have to leave the production, but his fellow artists wanted to do anything they could to help him recover from these very serious injuries. So we hope that you will consider making a contribution to his recovery fund by visiting giveforward.com. This is a site which collectively has raised over $41 million to assist those with medical bills and other health-related causes. So go to giveforward.com and type the name of Adrian. It's A-D-R-I-A-N. It's A-D-R-I-A-N, Black, into the search window and give what you can. Any amount will make a difference in not only Adrian's life, but yours. And I looked at the site earlier today, and the actor, Alfred Molina, one of my favorite actors, just contributed $1,000 to the effort.
We like
so please do support that. Just very, very difficult thing. And, you know, we forget that we live in a city. And we forget that stuff like this happens and all the stuff that's
when
going on.
When you least expect it.
Yes. So thank you, Michael, for putting that in there and allowing us to spread the word for a good cause.
Well, our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a true force of nature in body, mind, talent, and soul. He has been singing and dancing and acting since he was a young pup. He brings to a chorus line a wealth of experience that includes the first revival Broadway national tour of the show, the U.S. National Tour of Camelot, working with Michael York, Rachel York, and Lou Diamond Phillips, and appeared for a year and a half in the hit Vegas production of We Will Rock You at the Paris Hotel. Other productions include his recent appearance in 9 to 5 the Musical for 3D Theatricals in Fullerton, Plaid Tidings in Tuacon, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Footloose, and the Who's Tommy. And on screen, he has appeared in the film Jack and Jill and TV's Scrubs. But you can see him now, as we said, through April 28th, on stage in a chorus line at Musical Theater West in Long Beach, doing what he loves best. Please welcome the insanely talented triple threat musical theater star, Venny Carenza.
How you doing?
So wake up the room.
How you doing?
All right.
How you doing, Chrissy?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Don't mock my
sono
people.
Sono buono, right?
Is that
right?
Sono buono. Yeah, così. Mezza mezza. So, Venny, do you speak any Italian?
Oh my gosh.
Really?
It's gotten so watered down. It's like bad marinara sauce.
At least you said sauce and not gravy,
exactly.
So you're on my side.
I'm still there. I haven't lost at all.
Some people say gravy. It bothers me. It's not gravy.
Who would
sauce.
Say that, though? I mean, you mean of Italian people?
Old school, like these New Jersey Italians refer to it as gravy, and it's not gravy. It's sauce. If it's red, it's sauce. If it's brown, it's gravy. And we're going to get letters now, I guarantee. We're going to get letters and emails. Because these are the same people who are 16th generation Italian and say gabagool and these
gabagool.
Things.
Yeah. I love that.
Yes. But it's not, you know, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not Italian, it's Jersey. There's a difference.
Speaking of, you're from the East Coast.
Raised.
Raised?
Yeah.
And exactly where?
New York.
In New York.
Yeah.
And what's the connection to Texas? That's where your folks live?
Yeah. Born. I was actually born.
You're born in Texas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Born in San Antonio.
And you left there to go to...
For a few years to New York.
To New York.
Yep.
And that's where it all started.
Yep.
Yeah?
It sure did.
Now, you wanted to do this since you were a baby. So 3 years old, you've been doing this?
Yeah, I've been dancing since I was three.
Really?
And you knew at that time that this was what you wanted to do?
Oh, yeah. Mom threw me on stage, and I just smiled. Diapers and all, and I was ready to go.
Now, was your mother a stage mother?
You know, she was a performer herself, so she grew up as a model, an actress, and a dancer as well.
Oh, really?
I come from a line of musical artists as per se. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a musician, my mom's father, and my great-grandmother and my grandmother were also dancers.
Oh, wow.
So I come from a line of dancers. So my father's side of the family, although, was the opposite. So it was like night and day, but I was very influenced.
But that's a good balance to have.
It is a good balance to have, you know, because it keeps me intact on everything, you know. It lets me know that, you know, I can be artistic and yet I can have a normal life as well.
Right. You know? Right.
So yeah, it was quite a whirlwind in the home. I'm the baby of four. So I have two sisters and a brother. So I was the youngest, and I was, you know, I was the mockery of every sibling.
Yeah.
You know,
so. And so the others, what did the others do?
We all started out doing this.
Right.
But little by little, everybody fell off the wayside, and they said, no, this is not for me, this is not for me, this is not for me. But I ended up loving it, and I stuck with it. And, you know, when I was growing up, my family... You know, they said, well, he's going to be successful, but they never thought that it would come to this level. They never thought that it would get to this caliber. And so they're very happy, and they're very proud, and they're very, you know, they're very supportive of what I do.
You know, it's a tough thing with the Italians, too, because they're so supportive, but the love is so deep. And I don't mean just Italians, any families are like that, but my experience is Italians too, that the love is so deep that there's all the support, but there's all of this concern at the same time.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's that's got to be a tough fence to ride.
Because as much of support there's also that concern of stability.
Yeah.
Because they want to make sure that, you know, each family member is safe and secure for when they go.
Right.
For when my parents go, they're like, they don't have to worry about me, whether I'm going to be able to survive or not. They want to make sure that I am safe and stable and that I'm good to go when they leave. So that way, when they leave, they're like, okay, you have my blessing. Goodbye.
Are both of your parents Italian, or what is it?
It's my father's side of the family is where it comes from.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your mother is?
Mother has a mix of different things.
Okay.
So, yeah. She has German. She has Jewish. Yeah. And she has Spanish.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Quite the mix. See, my father is Italian and my mother is German. So I always say that the reason I have self-esteem issues is because all of my ancestors lost World War II. but no, it's Italian and German, you know. So no passion in that household at all.
None.
Now, just out of curiosity, you said your father's side of the family wasn't as artistically bent as your mother's side of the family.
Yeah.
But how was the support level from your father's side? Was he sort of like a lot of Italian fathers are, just like, why don't you just, you know, do something?
He was the typo Italiano.
This is the show, by the way. Yeah. Are you playing Zach? You know, how was your relationship with your father? Was he supportive of
you? Do I have to answer that?
Will you get the job?
Just speak into the water bottle, will you? Pay no attention to the cord running down into the briefcase at my feet.
My father came, I mean, I came from old school, so...
Because he's right here, ladies.
This is your life. My father was very much the typo Italiano. He was very hardcore and, you know, boys are boys, girls are girls, and this is the way it is. And, you know, it's like, for my son to be artistic, wait, what's this? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, as a compromise, my mom had us all do it, but she put us in a form of dance where, you know, where it's a very masculine form. I didn't start out in musical theater.
Right.
I actually started out doing flamenco.
Wow. And so. Oh, that was very tactical of your mom. We'll show him the physical, how physically athletic it is.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then we'll bring the ballet and the jazz in later.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, I started out doing that, and that's how I got my start in dance. And it just the mere fact of being on stage and, you know, just getting that reaction and seeing smiling faces out there in the audience was just a joy and thrill for me. And it really just, it was like being a kid in a candy store. I was just jumping up and down going, yay!
And for him too, I'm sure. Like, once the work was done and he could see people enjoying what you were doing, I'm sure that meant a great deal.
I mean, when I got my first Broadway National, which was 10 years ago, and I did Seussical on tour, and I traveled through town, he was just the rave about. I mean, he was raving to everybody in town about my son is doing
never to you, never to you. That's a classic Italian tactic.
Everybody but me.
Yeah, exactly. And so, well, you don't want him getting lazy now. Yeah, you don't tell him.
Because you know, to be at the top of the level, you know, in every city you have your Broadway house. And that's where you know that people from out of town will come to. Right. And if you've performed in that Broadway house, then you are the top. And that's where I performed. And so he was raving to everybody in town about it. My family, friends, distant relatives, it went far.
Wow.
And so he had everybody come. And they all came to see the show. And, you know... He couldn't have been more proud.
Yeah, that'd be a great moment for
both
of you.
What's your father's first name?
Anthony.
Anthony. So Anthony.
What are the odds?
Anthony. Which is my middle name. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Anthony, if you're listening, you should be very proud, as I know you really, truly are. Right. And because when I saw this man dance in the show, there was something very special and unique about his dancing, and it's what we're talking about the two of you versus some of the cast as a whole. They're all wonderful performers and dancers and actors and singers and doing what they do to the levels of which they do it. But these two people and a few others, you can tell by their experience at where their life has, you know, been and how they've arrived here.
And that's why there's playing the roles in the shows that they are playing. You know, there are different requirements.
That's why he's the assistant choreographer to Roger Castellano. I mean, there's a knowledge and a grace and a beauty about dance that is very inherent to him as a person, everything that he's learned in his life, thanks to your mother putting you there. I guess we owe her some big thanks to that.
And a huge.
As you said, the tactical approach of doing what she did to make it acceptable to his father. So, but Anthony, pay attention. You really need to praise your son more often, perhaps.
You know, I was supposed to do this production, of course.
You were?
Yeah, I had a conflict, though. Yeah. I can't sing or dance.
You're supposed to play Zach.
Yes, I
was.
That's
what you're auditioning for it right now.
I am. I'm going to play Zach like it was in the movie. God, is there a worse movie of a musical than A Chorus Line, the movie? Did you see it?
Did you like it? I did.
Very disconnected, isn't it?
I liked it. But I was a baby when I saw it, and it was about dancers. I got to watch a movie about dancers. I was probably 10 or 12 when I saw it.
So you saw it before you saw a live version of...
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, then you didn't have anything to compare
it to. And then I did it when I was 14. Yeah. You know.
And I remember there was an inside track regarding the movie. I remember hearing about Michael...
Douglas?
Michael Douglas. Yeah. Yes. Doing two at the same time. He was going Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Through Wednesday. Yes. He was filming two movies at the same time.
I
think it was Monday through Wednesday. Monday through Wednesday, he would go and he would film in New York and go do Chorus Line. Then he'd hop on a plane, do a red eye, and go down to on location to Cartagena.
Oh, because it was one of the Romancing the Stone movies.
He was doing the original one at the same time, and he'd go do the weekend doing Romancing the Stone. When he was done with that, get on a plane, do a red eye, go back to New York, and do Monday, Wednesday. And he was doing that for like 2 months, I believe.
Oh, my gosh.
And so a lot of times when you see them talking to Zach, they were talking to an empty house because no one was there.
I'm sure.
Well, it's like the show.
Yeah.
So. I mean,
so kind of, in a way, it's kind of related. Yeah. Related.
Yeah. Speaking of the show, it is A Chorus Line, and tickets are available at musical.org, or you can call 562-856-1999, extension 4. This is, of course, at Musical Theater, a production of Musical Theater West, and it is at the Carpenter Performing Arts Center, and that's at 6200 East Atherton Street in Long Beach. Tickets are $20. And
they
start at $20. And just remember, musical.org, easiest way for people to get
tickets.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's that time, Michael.
Is it?
We
have
5 minutes
that's
left.
Right. We have 5 minutes to baptize these
folks. We like to ask our guests to share a tale of performance embarrassment, not necessarily in this particular production, but in your extensive histories of treading the boards. And all four eyes lit up. So let's see.
I've got a few.
That's only with one of them.
Let's let's start with. Well, Vinny, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well,
are you ready?
Yeah. I believe it was 1997. Yeah, it was 1997.
Okay.
And I was doing an industrial for Lowe's Hotel. And it was for a production company, and the theme of the event was a history in music through time. And we get to the part of the 70s, and so we're doing all this disco stuff, and guess who comes out as John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever? Moi. So I come out, and they actually made me do the original choreography that he did in the motion picture. And then there's one part where he puts his hands together like a genie, and then he does the knee drop and squat.
Yeah.
Knee drop, squat,
right.
Knee drop, squat. And I went knee drop, squat, knee drop, the entire pair of my pants from behind, from the belt loop, all the way into the inner crotch.
Uh-uh.
Ripped.
Wow.
And of course that suit was white.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I had, I was like, oh, scary. And all of a sudden the wind just came flowing right through.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, and I could not do, and a lot of the rest of the choreography is facing upstage where the audience could see my backside. And I was like, I had
so
to improv.
What did you do?
I improvised.
You improvised.
I said, I'm not about to turn. And as soon as it was over, I walked off.
What's he doing, Mildred?
To the side. I didn't even turn around.
No.
Doing a whole toreador thing with the tablecloth. I don't remember
the original
that.
Movement that was choreographed.
I don't understand. It's like a Toro thing.
That's great. Yeah, we all have those crazy stories. That's exciting.
What is yours?
I have a couple, but you know, the one I guess for a chorus line, it's not that funny, but it is something. It's because I played the girl that, you know, I played Christine, and I loved playing Christine. That was the other part. I loved playing her and forgetting her sentences and forgetting, and then having my husband, like, in the show save me. Well, there was one day, like, after about 6 or 7 months of doing the show in New York, and after a while, Christine got a little kooky because I was not used to doing 8 shows a week, you know. Good God. And so, you know, her whole bit is coming out and going, oh, no, me, and oh, God, I don't know what to say, and the husband kind of comes in and helps her. Well, I literally had a blanking moment, like the character, where it was like a black screen was running and I couldn't see what the next line was, and he was still trying to help me and I couldn't. So I go, it was right, Dan Sullivan, right. I don't know what to say. I don't know what, and I literally was playing the girl Christine, and I was like, oh my God. And it took a long time for them to get for me to figure it out. And then finally, I think Tony really just came in and was like, said even more of the lines to get me in there, and I was like, okay, right, yes, that's it, thank you, honey, thank you, you know, as the character. But it's terrifying when you forget your lines, and you're literally going, I'm blanking, like, blanking, and you have no idea what's happening.
When you blank, I did a one-person show for 9 years.
Oh,
and,
my God,
I was on, I did it 1,400 times.
Wow.
And when you are doing a one-person show and you have 42 pages of text
just
in
you.
Your head, and you forget the next line, you forget how to tie your shoes.
Yeah.
You forget everything
you're like a deer
you
in
ever
headlights.
Knew.
You
it's
are.
Like you're just waiting for someone to spoon feed you something. Because everything goes out of your head.
It does. But
and
see,
the
for you, you didn't have anybody to save you. I had luckily I was playing the part that actually always forgot our lines.
No, there's well, exactly. If it was gonna happen with one character, that's the one that happened. But now, how long had you done the show before that happened?
Oh, like, we had done 400 performances total, so probably I was at 200 performances.
Yeah, see, that's astounding to me that it would just completely go out of your head like that.
But just remember when we had John Lloyd Young on the show, he said as many times as he had done Jersey Boys, and he's back on Broadway, I think, doing it again right now, but he just came to a particular part, which was, you know, a cue for him, and he was thinking...
I have no idea.
...about... what he was doing with his laundry,
where
he was going to eat.
That's in every little step.
Just going on in his head, and the person's cue actually interrupted his thought process. Yeah. That's when he went
Do
blind.
You mind?
Yeah. I'm not present here. I'm not fully present here.
That's right.
So oh, that's funny.
It happens.
It's fine. It's live theater, and it's fun. I mean, and I saw Elaine Stritch do that, and she would even be, and she's a legend, and I saw her being like, I just don't know what that line is. And I was just riveted. I was like, you could stand there and try to figure out your lines forever because you're just that magnetic.
That charismatic.
Yeah, and she's brilliant. So. Yeah.
The only time it happened to me, because it's one of my biggest fears, but the only time it happened to me was I called the guy in the booth, because you're right, I have nobody. And I just said, Mrs. Gardner.
Yeah.
I was playing the role of my mother. She said, I said, Mrs. Gardner, what were we talking about yesterday? We were out at the fence. We were talking about this. And you just hear, we were talking about when the kids went to college. And I went, thanks, Mrs. Gardner. Nice woman. Husky.
Let me tell you something. And the audience probably loved that.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's when you look like you're human. And yeah, you're like, right. You know what? We recognize we're making this up as we
go. So. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you know what? We have run out of time. But we want to thank you, Vinny.
What a joy having both of you on, though. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Every member of your company, every one of them, deserves a shout out.
They're all
fabulous. And the important thing, ladies and gentlemen, is you have to go to the theater. You have to support theater, or we won't be able to see productions like this. And take your children, buy those tickets. You can get them for as little as $20, and that is at Musical Theater West in Long Beach, A Chorus Line, through April 28th.
Yes, and it's musical.org.
Musical.org, online, 24/7.
Guarantee you'll probably connect with one of those characters up there.
Absolutely. Yeah,
definitely. Very true.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Paul, good to be back.
You.
We'll see you on the radio. See you next week.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.